After a week off from the pod, we are back. We'll tell you all of our thoughts from the first ever ARC Music Festival in Chicago and some brand new tunes from Anti Up, Don Diablo, Gammer, and many more. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, welcome to episode 114 of Beyond the Beats, Woo! A podcast about EDM news and culture. And we're feeling the vibes, we're feeling the grooves, we're feeling the house music coming back from ARC Music Festival. So that's why on this week's On Repeat, I have got quite the selection for you. This is MK's remix of Camel Fat and Lowe's classic, Easier. Take a listen. Right here. I love it because
massive,
this
right?
episode I feel like is going to be super like house heavy, that house vibe, baby boy. And I'm almost certain that MK played this remix when we were at Crossed, not ARC, when we were at Crossed.
You know,
right?
I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm not entirely sure. I feel like I recall hearing it, but I'm not entirely sure if he did. I had the same thought. It crossed my mind as well.
Dude, we were so lost in the trance of that set. Like, it was such
Without
a great
a
set at Crossed. And this is such an amazing, amazing remix, man. I mean, just
I love
the
it.
Melodies are beautiful.
It's amazing.
Honestly, MK, just he's got that magical touch in the studio. And I think it really came out in this remix that he did for Camel Fat and Lowe's. And honestly, man, I am feeling so fucking good after this trip to Chicago.
Me too, brother.
After
Me
this
too.
Trip to ARC. And I can't wait to dive into it with all the EDM champions everywhere. But, dude, this is a loaded episode.
It is.
Loaded episode. So let's dive into this new music, baby. We are starting off hot and heavy. Anti Up, brand new track called Something's About to Go Down. Let's give it a spin. Something's about to go down.
Yeah, man, this tune just makes me smile. I'm glad because, you know, the a couple releases ago we weren't too big of a fan, right? About it. I wasn't quite sure where they were going, you know, but I could definitely see the creative direction in the sense that they really wanted to embed some imagination with their tracks, right? They're getting really creative in the studio here. But I
Hell
think
yeah.
this time with Something's About to Go Down, I really think it worked. It works supremely well. There was something about just like the mashup between kind of his it's not bass house, but kind of house for them with bass line, right? You've got kind of those bass line drums that he throws in there. I absolutely love the combination of that with some house style and grooves. Like, you know, you've got 70s type of samples in there. It's all over the place. It's a mixed mash of everything, right? But I think it's done very well. It's like organized chaos, and I think it works, and it certainly makes me want to dance. What about you?
Organized chaos. Let's fucking go, dude. And let me just quickly say, Skrillex was absolutely right when he said,
yes.
Something's about to go down. Okay. You gotta love how different the Anti Up project is from Chris Lake's and Chris Lorenzo's personal projects. And like you said, man, there's so much going on in this song. Organized chaos is a perfect way to put it. And it just never gets boring up in here, dude. Yeah. 70s space like sample, tight snares with like hella reverb to fill up that space, muted kicks. It's just so chaotic, but I love it. And of course, I love that, you know, that sample right before the drop came from Chris Lake recording Skrillex as he's pacing back and forth in the studio saying, Something's about to go down. Like, it's just like,
that.
it's so raw.
It.
You can feel it. It's
amazing.
So great.
It's amazing. You know, it's like, do you think they have a track coming up together real quick? as well?
I think so.
Because why else would they be in the studio? I mean, unless it's just for this, which is hilarious if that's the case.
Like, no way. I definitely think they got something coming up, and I can't wait to see what they've been cooking up. Hopefully it gets released on Ausla or some, or Black Book. I mean, how amazing would that be?
I think they might do another Ausla collaboration again. Remember? Because that hot where Chicken Soup was on there, I Want You.
Yes.
I really think another Ausla compilation is going to be coming out. I mean, if it's not on, you know, stuff that he's already producing. So who knows? I hope they continue Ausla regardless, though.
Let's go. I love Ausla. All right, dude. Next one. Vibe switch up. Let's go. Gammer, Riot 10, brand new track called NGMF. Let's give it a spin.
Yeah, you know, man, like, okay, so there's good and bad to the song for me. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if it's as I'm getting older, you know, just more experienced in the scene, but these kind of like hypey vocals in bass tracks just don't really do it for me, you know, and like it just feels kind of like cheesy and overdone by this point. Yeah. You know, and I think there's a time and a place for it, but sometimes it's just like I love the little like narrated intro. I think that's kind of funny and it's cute, but then it's like, okay, do that and then get into like the music in the track, but then just kind of like the cheesy hype man type of vote, I'm just not really that about it, man. Like, I don't like it. But having said that, though, I thought it was interesting, you know, Gamma and Riot 10 deciding to go, you know, not hard style, which is definitely more of Gamma's forte, but going into kind of like that psytrance before this weird combination of psytrance and like dubstep coming on the second drop there. So I liked that. When I say weird, I mean it in a good way. I think it worked well, but just I couldn't quite get it out of my head. This feels like just a cheesy kind of like hype up song, right?
Totally.
You know, so I couldn't quite get that out of my head, and so I'm like about the song. I thought it was decent, but I'm like more like than anything.
You know, the problem is like all these bass tracks have like this sort of hype up narration to them, you know, like let's get fucking wild, let's go crazy, you know, do all this, just do all that. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, like I get the time and place for these sorts of tracks, but cool it. Just cool it a little bit. All right. Because all these tracks are starting to sound the same, unfortunately. And what I like here about Gammer and Riot 10 teaming up for NGMF is that they both kind of brought different styles to this track, you know, a little bit of psytrance and then. Exactly. But I really feel like the psytrance honestly didn't really work in this track because it just doesn't make sense with the narration of this sort of vocal sample, dude. I thought
that's a good point.
You know, I thought like Riot 10, like the way that, you know, he brought in his part of the drop, I loved it, man. And I gotta say, I like those really big stadium filling synths on the break. It kind of makes me want to check somebody while I'm playing ice hockey. You know what I mean? And like I said, the buildup gets you amped, but it just kind of felt like that psytrance was like a copy and paste of Vinny Vicky, and it just does not work because it's super, super lackluster. Ouch. Sorry, Gammer. I have a feeling that one was you.
I liked it, but you know, it's funny, man. You put a good point. It's like it doesn't really fit with the narration.
Right.
But I thought the production of it, I thought it was pretty solid. So, but very good point.
Yeah. I'm okay on that production side, but dude, let's go. This is huge, and I'm so excited that we're talking about Artbat on the show.
For sure,
Artbat just released a track called Flame. Let's give it a spin.
This is now it's all about solid production, solid song. You know, Artbat, very consistent producers, right? They really know, they've honed in on their sound and their style. They know what's up, and they're really starting to take their music to more of, seems like, a progressive route as well. But I mean, they really dabble around in that anything like kind of like melodic house area, melodic house techno, you know, what have you. But I love the progressive that they incorporated in this song, and just some really interesting sounds, right? Really interesting sounds,
dude,
that you might not normally expect to be in this type of track. They're able to integrate it and then put it into a dance music record. So I'm a fan of this track for sure. What do you think?
Dude, you have no idea how happy I am to hear you say that, because Artbat is somebody that I've been wanting to see for a long, long
time.
You've never
seen, so you know, it's funny. I've seen Artbat.
What? Oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah. Where'd you see them?
I saw them in San Francisco, actually. They played at Audio one time. It was a random type of thing where I just was like, I was out and about at a bar.
Yeah.
And you know those nights where you're just like, you're out and about and you're like, yeah, you know what? I feel like the night's not done yet. This is pre-pandemic. This is when I first moved out here, actually. I'm surprised I didn't tell you, but
I'm so jealous,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I went and saw them at Audio and they were awesome. They played a really, really nice set. So yeah, I'm glad that, you know, we're gonna have to go catch them sometime.
Hell yeah. I mean, this duo is I believe the future of progressive house right here, man. And like I said, I've been wanting to see them for a really, really long time. And, you know, sometimes these progressive house tracks, like, they can have those long, drawn-out build-ups, and, you know, you really feel it reaching this apex, but then when it drops, it doesn't deliver.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
That sometimes happens, for sure.
But Artbat consistently delivers on this sort of journey of the tracks that they put out, and Flame is a prime example of that right there. What I love, dude, especially, is that you get all the elements of the drop inside the break and the build-up. You know what I mean? So, like, you could feel the tension rising, but the payoff is ultimate, and that's what I love about this track. So, big, big fan of this one right here.
Yeah.
Dude, let's move on. Here we go.
All right.
Last track for the new music section. Iman Beck, LP, teamed up for a track called Fighter. Let's give it a spin.
This is an interesting one for me, man, because it's nothing too special, but I kind of appreciated the direction that Iman Beck took with producing this, and I have a feeling that you're not going to be a fan of this track whatsoever. I've got a funny feeling about that. But you know, I can see where it fits into people's tastes and into their discography. So I kind of appreciate. I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't expecting this type of production from Iman Beck, and I kind of like some of the samples that they were using. But overall, you know, it's just not my cup of tea. You know what I mean? So I did appreciate what they were bringing, I think, in terms of the creative direction here. But just for me personally, was not something I'd listen to. But I think there's a lot of people out there who would enjoy this track.
Interesting. I have nothing to say on this track except for it is booty. I mean, this is not a track that I would ever listen to again.
Negative Nancy is back in the house, baby. Here we go.
I don't know,
no
man.
No more crunch rap supreme.
To go from the remix that he did for St. John with the track Roses to something like this, I just... Again, it doesn't even sound like Iman Beck. I'm not digging it. There's nothing really redeeming about this track except for like LP's voice, which sounded pretty amazing, you know, in this track here. But honestly, dude, skipping it. Never wanna listen to this track again. So that's how
like
I feel
a
about
zero.
That.
We don't even have zero on our scale.
I know.
This is the 0.5. Oh wait, sorry, we don't do decimals. I forgot.
Dude, just ran through some new music. We got a lot to talk about on this show, but can you please give it to me real quick? How do the EDM champions get tapped into what we just talked about?
Yes, sir. You already know. Head over to our website, beyondthebeats.co, and navigate yourself over to the show notes section. That's where you'll find this episode, along with 113 other episodes. And all Woo! Of... It's amazing to say that, isn't it? Like, right? It's just so cool to say that we're that high up now in the numbers for the amount of episodes that we've had. But definitely head over to the website if you want to find all of the links to articles and the music and... what have you, everything Beyond the Beats related. But also reach out to us on social media. We're on Instagram, we're at btb.pod. On Twitter, we're at podbtb. And now Samir and I are both finally on Twitter. I've been a little bit lazy the past couple of weeks, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, what the hell's going on, man?
I know, I was on a streak. It's hard for me to keep the social media usage up, man, but I'm trying. I've had some All good right. chats on there, so I'm probably gonna get more into the flow, probably some you know, yeah, I'll be getting back onto it. But anyways, our handles are at Alec_BTB and Samir_BTB.
You already know it, baby. You already know it. But dude, you know, I'm just really excited about all these projects that we have going on with Beyond the Beats right now. I mean, currently we're talking to a couple of really cool people to help us take our identity, our visual identity, to the next level. And I think that's really exciting. And you know what that means, man? You know, new visual identity means we're gonna have to get some new stuff printed, like on a flag,
yes,
or on like a face mask, like, you know, like people wear to shows and festivals. And check this out. Check this out. All right, when we're done with that project, we can head over to our sponsors, festflags.com, festflags.com. We can tap into their expertise. They're a fantastic company that can help you, us, and your rave squad make some dope merch, like a flag, like a seamless face mask for all your rave wearing days. And you all can just look absolutely decked out in your customized gear. And best of all, you get 10% off when you use our code BTBPOD. So Alec, you already know, dude.
All caps, and right? Is that all caps? I've always wanted
all caps. All caps. All caps. Let's go. I don't know if it's case sensitive, yeah, but all caps. Good call out there.
I have to ask them about that. But yeah, just fantastic. Shout out to them. Support your local businesses. Support them. And by the way of supporting us as well.
Dude, news and culture. The big topic of this week's episode, bro. Oh my gosh. All right. ARC Music Festival. We just got back from that shit. You know, this past week, we were straight up raving and partying in one of the hearts, in one of the homes of house music, baby. House music, Chicago, Illinois. First of all, I just want to quickly say, that was my first time in Chicago, and I loved it. That is
hell
such
yeah,
a fantastic city, dude. When we were exploring that first night that we were all in the city, you know, we're checking out the downtown. So gorgeous, dude. And honestly, just walking around, you know, after the bars closed and just walking back to our hotel, I don't know, man. I was really in awe. I just loved the way that the river just cut through the whole city. It's just so pretty, man. But dude, let's talk about the meat and bones of our trip out there, dude.
Yes,
meat
sir.
And the
yes,
bones.
Sir.
Talk about ARC Music Festival, the first iteration of Chicago's premier all-you-can-eat house of techno music festival, dude. 2 days over Labor Day weekend. Dude, let's talk about this. Let's talk about, first and foremost, the production of the festival. Mm. Alec, mm-hmm. I want your thoughts. What did you think about the production of ARC?
So I was very impressed with the stages. I thought the stages in of themselves in terms of its design and the vibe that they gave were really well done. I thought the main stage was very well done. A nice, you know, kind of the LCD screens on there. It's not obviously as big of a production as something like you would see at an EDC Las Vegas. However, I thought the production was really well done and very suiting for the size of the festival. Definitely had like a real main stage feel to it, pardon me. And it was kind of on the grass and stuff. So it gave you that kind of like, you know, oh, this is like the proper main stage. And there was lots of space. Like that's the thing that I really enjoyed about the main stage. And actually pretty much every single stage there was that there was a good amount of space for the amount of attendees. So I thought on that front, it was very well done. So I forget off the top, wait, actually, I think I got it. The grid, main stage, right? L Row, suitable because they were hosting it, uh-huh. Was the
tent.
Kind of, yeah, the tent. There was like this big tent. So if you've been to, I don't know how many other like festivals are similar to it, but they usually a festival will have some type of like tent, right? With, you know, different, not as many like, you know, graphics in terms of screens on there, but they're going to have more props and stuff. And so that's what Elro brought to it. And it was a long, you know, tent that was sticking out quite far with lots of like, you know, the crazy Elro
psychedelic colors,
very psychedelic, exactly, yeah. Very trippy psychedelic, and that's where, you know, and I thought Elro, we could get a little bit into it. I thought they had a really good lineup, and the production was actually, I think, with an exception of maybe a few different artists, mm-hmm. I thought it was actually quite well suiting to the artist's styles, but we can hop into that a little bit later. And then we had the techno stage, the expansion stage. Now I thought that was really cool. Gave me some Game of Thrones vibe, right? Like it was you know, so they had like it was like all made out of wood. It was this kind of little oval thing. They had a fog machine.
It kind of looked
lights.
Like a nest. It kind of looked like
a
nest, but it's like all made out of wood and like these sort of like hanging chandeliers that like you said, Game of Thrones mm-hmm. style, like old-timey style.
Really nice. So, yeah, it's like not even chandeliers, but like what's the word to describe those
lamps.
Things?
Like
gas
lamps.
Lamp type
yeah.
of thing, right? Like
there you go.
So it was in between. Like they had some trees in there. It was a little bit more of the slightly wooded area of the park. Definitely a smaller stage out of all of them, but I thought again it was quite intimate and quite suiting and minimal enough for the style of music, right?
Yeah.
Not too much going on in terms of crazy production, but enough to keep you involved and really feeling like, you know, you're in a part of an intimate set. And then, you know, the ARC cart. I'm saying art car from DC, right? But the Ark cart. I thought that was pretty well done. I went and checked it out for a little bit, but to be perfectly honest, I didn't stay there for too much, and that's because of my major gripe, my only real gripe the festival is that there was sound bleed. There was. It was quite bad, particularly from the Ark car to the main stage and even the other stages. It just, I just feel like the Ark car could have been placed. It's difficult, in a smaller park like that, but they still had enough space where I think they could have put it somewhere else, maybe more in the corner. Trust me, I get all the logistical reasons for maybe doing that. You want people to go see them. You don't want to be too far out the way, but the sound was bleeding onto the main stage and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So unless you were like right close up front to the art car and where the speakers were, you would be getting all sorts of everything. And then to be honest, furthermore, really from like the other stage too, the main stage and then the Elro stage, if you're towards the back of the Elro stage and they're not turning it up for like the main person or the main few people that are playing there, you're going to hear like a little bit of the high-end frequencies from the main stage. Mm. So that kind of took me out of it a little bit. So that would be my only major gripe with the production, is that there was sound bleed going in. But otherwise, I thought the stages were beautiful, well done, and pretty well suiting for the artists that were playing them.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I think you really hit upon a bunch of great notes right there, and I just want to add one point to the expansion stage, which is the techno stage that you just mentioned, the more old-timey wooden-looking stage. I loved how there was like a church across the street that was like kind of part of the background of that stage.
That was funny. That was pretty funny.
I don't know, man. Like the church, it looked also a little bit older, so it just kind of added another level of the vibe there, like an old-timey vibe, number one. And then number two, I totally agree with you on the sound bleed. The sound bleed got pretty bad. And number three, I think they should have had some of the bigger artists that they had on the expansion stage actually on the main stage. And somebody like that would be like Cyrus D, Eric Prince's techno alias, who, that's a big name. And you have him on pretty much one of the smaller stages at the festival. You already know that crowd's going to be jam-packed with a lot of people. I want to mention the food and beverage situation over there, okay? Food and beverage situation. Lacking. It was lacking a bit, okay? Mm. I didn't eat any of the food there. Actually, we did a pretty good job of, eating good meals at the hotel and then after the festival and not buying food there. So big
but
money
the food
saver
good.
Right there.
But I will say the food did look good.
The food
they had
looked
some good.
Good
carts.
So the food looked good. It smelled good. But the beverage situation there completely fucked.
That was
and that
terrible.
Includes the water as well, okay? Here's what I didn't like about the beverage situation there, all right? First of all, the high noons, those little seltzer cans, $14 per can. $14. Ridiculous. Water bottles, $7 per water bottle. Absolutely atrocious pricing. Don't do that again. Red Bull was cheaper. $6 a can for the Red Bull. Here is the worst part about this. There was only one cocktail available at the bar, which, I didn't really realize it, Alec, on the first day, because I know you went to go get the drinks for that round. But then when I went, then that's when I realized that the only drink that they had was vodka and Red Bull. And that's it. You couldn't get a cranberry vodka. You couldn't get a vodka soda with a splash of orange juice, which is my drink, in case anybody wants to buy me one.
You
can't do any of that. You can only get a vodka Red Bull, which is totally fucked because, the problem is that, undoubtedly there are people who are on substances. Those sorts of substances can sometimes interact with energy drinks and cause some health issues or potentially put people in danger. And if your only drink is vodka Red Bull, you're not really doing much to give people a choice outside of that drink to have a safer, quote unquote, safer drink. I'm putting that in air quotes because, it's not safe to mix. So that's why I'm putting it in air quotes there. But that was totally fucked. And then the water situation at the festival was totally fucked. They had one water station, which was like pretty much eight spigots of water. And when I say spigots, I don't mean like those those spigots that you kind of hold down and like they fill up your Camelback super fast. No, it was like you're at a library in the 80s and you're pressing down the button at the water fountain. That's what they look like. And they had eight of those and the line was stupid long. People were cutting. It was just ridiculous. So I'm not terribly thrilled about the beverage situation over there. Now, I do know, Alec, your girlfriend got a badass-looking pineapple drink, a pina colada, at the festival, which actually tasted really fucking good.
No,
I'll give
her
that one.
That was the only good beverage. But I agree with you, man. Like, it was really weird that the only cocktail they offered was Red Bull and vodka.
Yeah.
So you had Red Bull Vodka, High Noon,
yeah,
Heineken, Coors Light.
That's it.
And I'm pretty sure that's it.
That's all they had.
And that's it. So that was really bizarre to me. It's like you don't have like vodka soda or
splash orange juice.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Or like even without the splash, like you just, this is just the typical stuff. Like if you have vodka, you're gonna have something else other than Red Bull. So I will say though, man, actually, like I really think they did a good job with you know, I don't think they have this quite sold out, but so I don't want to give them credit for something maybe they didn't intend to. But the amount of people that went there, I thought was actually really quite perfect for the festival. And while this isn't, you know, this is kind of segueing out of but still related to production and food and beverage and all that in terms of logistics, talk about like getting, you know, how crazy it was leaving the festival, right? Like they didn't close down the roads.
They didn't close
down the road. So when people were leaving, because you know this park, it's a city park. So as soon as you leave, you're basically going onto roads where there's full on traffic going. And this ended at like 10 o'clock. So it's not that late where there's no one driving around. So people were like, oh, get off the road, get off the road. Yeah. But I'm like,
cars
there's
honking.
No room. There's nothing there. And I'm like, I've never seen that with festival where they've not closed down the adjacent road to where the festival's, even just for an hour. Like I could not believe it when they didn't close it down, and there are cars coming through. It's a miracle, and maybe someone did. I hope no one did, but it's a miracle that no one got hit.
Dude,
to be perfectly honest,
spot on. Yeah, leaving the festival was definitely a bit of a clusterfuck with the way that they did not close down the roads. It's kind of leading to an unsafe condition there with cars just trying to get through and just people like honking their fucking horns, be like, "Yo, get out of the way." I mean, you definitely saw some cars ripping down the road when people would finally move. You know, not safe at all.
But I will say though, man, like, oh, sorry, go on.
No, one thing I do want to mention here, dude, is the crowd. Let's talk about the crowd a little bit at the festival, dude, because my God, man, I got to say, that was probably one of the best crowds at a festival I've ever been around, dude.
Oh, very
vibes
nice.
Were immaculate, man. Mm-hmm. Immaculate.
Everyone was really into the music, which I thought was great. You know, and it was, I think, I know it was an 18 plus event, but I think it was an older crowd just from the people that I saw around. Everyone seemed a little bit more mature in terms of their raving years. People gave each other space on the whole.
Loved it.
I think really the only one where there was like no space was probably the Cyrus D set. But that's just because it was a smaller stage, as we just talked about. But other than that, people were quite courteous. They gave each other space. So that was really nice. I agree with you there.
Awesome. Yeah. I was really, really shocked by this crowd. I mean, I was, you know, I was taken aback at Cross a little bit because it's a 21 plus crowd. You could definitely feel like it was a bit of an older crowd, which I appreciated. But honestly, dude, I think just in general, the city of Chicago does have a very deep appreciation for house and techno. You know what I mean? And they're not getting fucked up to the point where they're being rude, they're being rambunctious, they're pushing people around. And I think that really showed here at ARC Music Festival this year. And I really hope that as this festival becomes more popular, that they can hold on to that vibe, because that is very important. That made the whole experience incredibly, incredibly enjoyable.
I agree. I think overall, like I know we've said some negative things, right? But for me, and I don't know about you, for me, I thought this was quite a successful festival, and especially successful festival for its first time. I thought they did a very good job. Like there's just a few things they kind of missed there, but overall it was an amazing experience. Like, I had a really, really good time, not just because I love the city of Chicago, but also because they just did a really good job with the production, with artists they had. The lineup I thought was
banging,
really, really well done. And all the artists, they turned up. They all had great sets. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I saw a set that I disliked.
Let's talk about that real quick, man. Give me your top three sets of the weekend. Let's hear it.
Oh yeah, this is always tough, but like you know who killed it was Medusa. Medusa,
let's fucking go,
absolutely crushed it. And
let's go.
I've had the fortune of seeing him before one time, although briefly, and that's why I was like, I've got to go catch this on the main stage. He did a phenomenal job bringing a much more progressive vibe than I think maybe a lot of people who only know him for his, you know, radio hits. But you know what's funny? Even with that, like, he didn't play out the full original live. Like, he played a remix of it. But even when you hear some of the things, like, what he does live with it is just really, really well done. How he mixes it in with some progressive sounding stuff, a little bit of deep house in there. He does a great job. And I think when you hear it live, the you know, whatever sample he uses that's like become his signature thing, like, you know, when you hear the sounds that go on at the beginning of his major songs. It's really his thing. It sounds really, really good live.
It's very crisp, yeah.
Very crisp, really well done live. And yeah, I absolutely love that set.
Who else you got? Give it to me quick.
I've got to say Zoo. Unbelievable.
Right on.
Zoo had a fantastic performance. Yeah. Oh, God. It was like, all right, he turned into like an 80s rock show. That's what I thought was, I was really surprised by that. Like, he brought out the, you know, he had the saxophones, he had the drummer. It was really well done.
Yeah.
Then my third one, I mean, you know, Eric Prydz was amazing. He really was. And Cyrus D was awesome too.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed as well Deborah DeLuca when she came on. DeLuca absolutely nailed it. She crushed it. That's a tough one. And then seeing some of Hot Since 82 as well. I know this is over three, but
what the fuck, you know. Dude? I asked for only three.
Okay, so let's do Medusa.
Yeah.
Let's do Zoo. And then let's say Eric Prydz.
Fuck, right on. Good mix right there. For me, man, Medusa is without a doubt definitely in my top three. That was a crazy, crazy good set. Was not expecting it. Eric Prydz for sure. Of course, you already know. Cyrus D, but I think that's a very easy one there. So if I wanted to get away from Cyrus D, I'm actually going to give it to Fisher. I thought Fisher in the Elro tent
had a great
major vibe, dude. Major vibe. I was super stoked on seeing him again. I thought his cross set was good, but I actually thought his arc set was better. So I was really, really impressed with it, man. Well, everybody was getting down. Alec, all this to say. You know, in my opinion, the biggest compliment you could ever give like a restaurant or a concert or a DJ or an artist is, would you see them again? Would you eat there again? Would you do this again? Would you do that again? You know, because like if you're willing to spend your money again, that means you had a great fucking time. So Alec, would you go to ARC Music Festival in Chicago, Illinois again? Mm. Let's hear it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I think my answer is quite evident in how my voice throughout this episode has gone from being more full to now being less so because, you know, I've been at the festival and stuff and having a good time. I would go back, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And I'll give you three main reasons why I'd go back. One, great lineup. And I have very full confidence in them for the next edition of ARC Music Festival. They'll have another really solid house and techno lineup. Two, the location. I think the location was actually really well done, especially for the hotel that we found and the bunch of hotels around. Getting to and from there, despite some logistical issues, you can just walk there. It's actually quite easy and it's a nice walk. And that was really nice because some festivals, although they're great, can be bloody hard to get to, right? And then the third reason is that it's Chicago. And I absolutely love Chicago. And I love some of the clubs that they have out there where we went to Radiate to
Radius.
Right? Not Radiate. That's who we had on. Little plug there for the for the last episode. But, you know, it was a great, great venue where we saw Zoo's Blacklist. And then Samir went for, Prida. For Prida. Mm-hmm. So I would 100% go back just because the after parties were really cool and the city is an awesome city.
Those are
my three reasons why I would go back.
Well, hopefully we get a chance to both go back there together again, man, because I'm right there with you. ARC Music Festival was a 150% must go to, especially if you're into house and techno. You know, bring your vibe, you know, bring your energy. This is a really, really great festival. And Oris Presents, the promoter behind this festival, should be very proud of themselves for what they're able to accomplish here for a first iteration of a festival like this. I mean, it was pretty much seamless, except for a few of the gripes that we pointed out as we were talking about it. But, dude, what a fun weekend, okay?
So much fun, man.
Dude, you brought the vibrations to an all-time high, you and your girlfriend both. It just felt so good to be back raving with you in a new city, man. But, EDIA champions, it felt good to be back out there, and we hope you all had great Labor Day weekends. Like we said, loaded episode. And even more so, dude, the Beyond the Beats ecosystem is loaded right now of fantastic content that everybody needs to check out.
I feel like we've been kind of like, you know, it's nice to finally be saying, hey, we've got stuff in the pipeline that's coming up now, right?
Exactly.
It's good to feel that way, especially as we head into the new year, you know? So there's a lot coming up on the show and in our ecosystem. And none of them more pressing than the fact that we've just got sessions after sessions, right? So EDM champions, I can, you know, very confidently say and very happily tell you all that for the remainder of the fall, until December, right up until Christmas, December 17th, we will have for you a session, an exclusive DJ mix every other week, dropping on Fridays, which is, this is going to be like kind of regular programming for the show from here on out. And it's just awesome to have like that, you know, that catalog just, you know, built up. So just you wait to see who we've got in store, because we got to remind you though, Benoit, who came on before, you know, we plugged that on the show. Definitely go check that out. Link will be in the show notes as well. But now we've got someone else who we haven't talked about in a while, but he is like an animal in the studio, man, because here's a quick story. Okay, Newtone, right? We hit him up saying like, hey, I know it's a little bit last minute, but we've got a mix slot that's available that people haven't taken, and we would love to fit you in, but it's like in, you know, September 10th. And the guy's like, yeah, I'll just go to the studio this weekend and make it for you. Just like, the guy is a monster. He's an absolute animal. And this mix, oh, it's going to make you a fan of him. So just check it out. It's out tomorrow, September 10th on our SoundCloud. Please do not sleep on it.
I like it like that.
Absolutely, man. And just a big shout out to the whole Beyond the Beats team.
Yes.
Just working on this stuff behind the scenes, helping the EDM champion community get connected to our culture, the sounds, and the latest happenings. And we're just so thankful for all that everybody has been doing. If you want to actually get to know our team a little bit, the people who are working behind the scenes, get to our Instagram, get to our Twitter. We've been doing a little spotlight on the amazing people working here at Beyond the Beats. So thank you all for what everybody has been doing. Your work is genuinely appreciated. Shout out to CJ, Ashley, and Jeremy. You all are amazing people to work with. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Hell, Alec. Yeah.
All right, brother.
Boom. Where are we going next? Let's get into it.
Oh, you already know. We're to the penultimate section of the Beyond the Beats experience. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, welcome to the What Are We Listening To section, where we will rate and review and discuss either two tracks, EPs, or albums. And this week, we've got two tracks for you. But Samir, before we dive into it, please can you introduce to all of the EDM champions how we do this section?
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Okay, I think we'll start this week off with Don Diablo. Don Diablo teamed up with Arco. That's AR/CO for a very interesting track. I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on this one, man.
Yeah.
It's called Hot Air Balloon. Take a listen.
Man.
Oh no.
Ah. just meh. Very, very meh. And I'm usually actually a fan of Arco. That's spelled AR/CO. That'll be in the show notes. And Don Diablo. And I expected a lot more from this collaboration, to be completely honest with you, bro. But ultimately, I was let down mucho. You know, this kind of reminded me of like folk rock in a way. You know what I mean? Like, I was expecting like a bunch of people with like, you know, like braids in their hair, standing around like a microphone with like tambourines, just shouting, "Hey!"
You're trying. You know, you're thinking of like a Lumineers track.
Yeah, exactly. Hope. That's exactly.
Hey,
yes. Dude, yes, that's exactly right.
No shade on them, though. I like them a lot. I like
dude,
them a lot.
Dude, I mean, you know the look, dude. You know, like tambourines, braids in the hair, wool beanies, and, you know, they're all sipping black coffee because, you know, black coffee is obviously better than any other coffee.
Green tea.
Or green tea. That's right. They don't want to put those chemicals in their body. But, you know, in my opinion, dude, there is no point in putting your name on a track if it doesn't even remotely sound like you. And Don Diablo, honestly, this does not sound like him. I am not a fan. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, dude, I'm kind of torn because it was kind of nice, right? But I agree with you. It's like, why is this a Don Diablo track? And I'm confused by Arco's involvement with this. You know, they're a great duo, male and female vocal duet. And like, right. I particularly like them on one of Will Clark's track called Run Run. It's one of his bigger ones. That'll be in the show notes too. Definitely take a listen to that. You know, we've been talking about Will Clark a lot recently. It's
dude,
so funny.
We are loving Will Clark over
he's
here.
He's just popped up onto the show all of a sudden. But you know, back to this song, I thought it was kind of nice. It was kind of chill, but it just felt really out of place with it. And there was nothing too kind of like special about it. Like, I'm not sure really about this one, and I'm gonna have a really tough time racing it because it's not necessarily that I disliked it that much. It was more I was just confused, you know, right, as to why this came about. And like, I don't know, if Don Diablo wanted to do some indie rock, he could just start an alias or something, like that Diplo's done it with country music and whatnot. So you know what I mean? But I could see maybe the direction of just trying to include, you know, electronic production into it. But it just feels really conflicting with his brand and what he's usually about. And it's like, I don't know. It's a bit of a mess for me. But a little bit of a head scratcher of a collaboration there.
You're scratching your head over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, man. Totally. It's it is a very confusing track. And I think, like you, I'm going to have a hard time trying to rate this one, man.
Me too.
I really am.
Me too.
I really am.
Me too.
But Let's talk about somebody that this guy brings the mood big time. All right, we're talking about Ofaya, brand new track released on Defected Records called Up All Night. Revel in it. Let's go.
Fire, baby. You know, it's I think I don't want to steal your thunder on this one because there's a quote. I won't. Okay, because you have a quote that I think is just so spot on when it comes right to his releases. But it's got grooviness to it. It's something that just gets you moving. Nothing too complicated, right? I think it just shows that you don't need to make tracks that are, you know, we talk a lot about being original on the show,
yeah,
right, but being original doesn't always necessarily mean you gotta do stuff like how Anti Up is, where it's just all kind of like, you know, very imaginative, right very experimental.
Very
but,
good point.
You know, not saying that this is an original track per se, but it to get our attention and to keep something catchy and moving and grooving and be a good quality track, you don't have to be out of the box all the time. And I think Afire has really just nailed down how to make something that is just, you know, kind of like rolls. Like, you could just imagine this song rolling into another in a house set, but just keeping everyone moving, keeping the good vibes. And there's like a real place for it in that kind of tech house scene as well. So I just love it. And then of course, like, you know, I think you picked up on this as well, there's a little bit of the UK garage kind of thrown in there as well. And Afire does and that's what I think keeps this track spicy and interesting. Yes. Is that, you yes know, it's not that overly complex, but it's just very good at incorporating different influences from other subgenres and implementing them into a sound. He does a very, very good job of that.
Dude, hold on, I gotta put my clothes back on after listening to this track because this shit just gets me feeling way
good thing we're not
too
in video yet.
Sexy. I just
saw
Smith
stripped. It's like I was very surprised.
It's nothing you've never seen before, but dude, this had me feeling so good. Anytime Ofaya releases a track on Defected Records, you know it's gonna be a banger.
That's
and
it.
Up
That's
All Night,
the quote I was talking about. Yes, you're right. 100%.
It's a banger. It's a banger.
No, it's a banger. The fact that every time we release something on Defected Records, it's true. Right. It seems like that's the case. Like, I'm like, yep, automatic pre-save there.
He does not miss. And this track, Up All Night, does not disappoint. And, you know, we kind of talked about this already. You've heard some of these elements before in these big house tracks. Not big room, big house tracks. before, party yes. style chanting vocals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm so glad I got this correct because I was a little bit nervous to put this in my notes. I'm glad that you also picked up on that UK garage, dude, because, you know, in the drop, it seems like he was UK garage, like you say. I thought that's how you Brits pronounce it, dude. But, you know, it's like he incorporates UK garage with some almost disco elements. And the way that it comes together, it's pretty fresh.
I'm sorry to ruin your analysis, but you're killing me. Absolutely killing me with that.
I don't want to upset the Brits, dude. So I'm just saying it. You know, it's like Ibiza is garage.
It's
garage.
One, you don't need the it's just garage.
Sorry, that's my American accent, dude. But I, overall, really big fan of this track, and I can't wait to blast this shit out, man. This is such a good song.
I agree. Again, sorry for ruining your analysis.
You're good, dude. You're good.
Me. Absolutely killing me. But let's get into rating this, man. All right. Don Diablo, Arco, Hot Air Balloon. Did this take off for you or not? What's your rating, man? You can use decimals if you like.
No, I'm not gonna use decimals. That's blasphemy, dude. You know, I'm gonna be a little bit positive on this one. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a bad track from a production standpoint, so I'm gonna give it a level 2 out of 5 background noise. Not a terrible song, but this does not fit with Don Diablo. I don't understand why his name is on this track. You know, you might as well just say that this is produced by the Lumineers or something. So yeah, not a fan. Not a fan, but again, it's not so terrible that you never want to listen to it ever if it ever comes on. What are your thoughts?
Man, Don, I'm sorry if you hear this, man. But sometimes it's just the hard truth, isn't it? I agree with you, man. Background noise, level 2 out of 5. But I think this is on the positive end of background noise. And what I like about how we've done this rating scale is that this really actually captures how I feel about the track quite well, because it is a track that I'm perfectly content with and might even groove to a little bit if it's on in the background, right? If we're on a long car drive and we forgot to download Spotify songs, but for some reason this song was downloaded and it just comes on and you have no cell service. All right, you know, fine. Easy going. I'll have it on in the background. No problemo. But it's not something that I'm going to go out and seek to listen to again. You know, just for, I'm not going to rehash it. Don't want to beat a dead horse. But yes, we've already captured why we wouldn't necessarily be listening to it again. So
right on. Right on, right on, right on. Dude, Ofaya, baby, Up All Night. What are your thoughts?
In contrast, man, this is going to be a very solid level 3 out of 5 for me. Just Woo! Turn it up. Not quite enough to get to that Just Bought Tickets level for me, but it's a very, very solid track that certainly has me moving. And yeah, this is a track that I would definitely, would have downloaded, right? Something that we could put into our sets.
Dude. Love it, love it, love it. I'm going to step further than that and give me this level 4 out of 5 Just Bought Tickets. I would 150%. First of all, I don't know if you remember this. I told this story a couple, back in May on the pod or something like that. But I stumbled into this pool party here in San Diego, and Ofaya was headlining. I had no idea who he was, but he was just bah, 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 just nonstop.
And you bought
bangers.
Shots for everyone, right?
I think I did buy. I think I did buy
sure
a round of
we
shots
remember
for everyone.
That story. You bought, you were the life of the party out there, because it was one of your first times out in San Diego, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. We had a friend visiting from New York, and the three of us just stumbled upon this pool party, and we had a great time. But
amazing.
Dude, Ofaya always delivers, and this track certainly does, and I have no problem buying tickets next time he's in town. This is a no-brainer right here on my side.
Perfect. Perfect, man. Absolutely love that. And you know, man, you know where we got to go next?
I already know where we're going, baby.
Yes,
give it to
sir.
Me. Where are we going?
So welcome to the Artists We're Watching section. Hell yes, we've Woo! Got two fantastic artists to put onto your radar. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking we're going to end up, because we have slightly different vibes here, man, for this week. So I'm thinking, why don't you start us off this week, and then we can end off with some more energy. But give us the chill, man. Give us the vibes.
Yeah, dude. I'm super, super stoked on this artist that I'm watching this week. A little bit different. The EDM champions kind of know that it fits in with my modus operandi, or I don't know how you say that, operandi. I'm trying to say that more because it sounds very...
I love it. You could just say MO, you know?
Yeah, I kind of like saying it out loud, you know what I mean? Because I took
Latin.
I think it's Spanish. So I took... Sorry, it's Latin. I took 2 years of...
That's
I took 2 years
much
of Latin.
You remember that you Dude, thought it was Spanish.
I shit you not, I got C minuses every single year that I took Latin. I was a terrible student when it came to the Latin language.
You know, me too. We were forced to at my school in the UK to take Latin. I'm pretty sure I took it for 3 years. And I don't remember anything except domini, dominus.
Oh, yeah, I know that one too, dude. Nice, nice, nice. Anyways, back to the music. Here's what I love about the scene right now, just the overall music industry right now in general, right? And Spotify especially doing this, is I appreciate the fact when people put who produced their tracks in the song credits section. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you listen to a pop track. Let's say you listen to like a dope hip hop track or something, like I was doing in my case. And I was like, this beat is fucking fresh, all right? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, who made this shit? That's how I discovered my artist that I'm watching this week. Jide, J-I-D-E, okay? Not too much information out on my artist that I'm watching, but you just have to appreciate when you hear such finesse, when you hear somebody who's able to produce beats and sounds and electronic music across all these different spectrums and all these different use cases, that's how you know somebody is tapped in, they got the right ear, and they got the right creativity. So this track, his solo release called Midnight Pretenders, is such a fair representation of his sound that I just have to play it for the EDM champions. So here it is, Jide's track, Midnight Pretenders. Enjoy.
Back to the vibes, the good feeling music. This is wonderful. This is a wonderfully produced track. Like the intricacy of it, really, really enjoyed this, man. I've definitely given him a follow and obviously have saved this song and look through his other discography. I'm just excited to see what he's going to be doing. It's really, really nice just to hear this type of music, you know, and how it's blending with, you know, electronic. And it's been around for a while, right? But I really feel like there's a moment for it now. And I think it's starting to definitely, you know, escalate in terms of popularity, which I'm super, super here for.
Hell yeah, dude. I think you hit the nail on the head. These types of tracks, these sort of chill, not necessarily lo-fi in this case. Lo-fi is definitely having its heyday right now. But these sort of chill electronic tracks really are having a moment in
with
the spotlight.
Indie influences and things like that, you know, use of instruments. Like I really don't know how to quite describe it, but
yeah,
it's good. It's good.
It's a true representation of creativity in this scene, and that's why I really love Jide and his music. So that's my artist that I'm watching this week. But Alec, throw that shit in reverse, baby. You're ending this episode in a major, major way. Let's go.
Absolutely. Let's get some energy. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, I'm feeling quite inspired from our time at ARC. So you already know, champions, I have got a banging tech house track to introduce you to, coming all the way from Liverpool. By the way, real quick here, I'm loving the influx. Like, there's obviously been a lot of history of house music in the UK, but I feel like it's having a moment again. I feel like there's, you know, Gorgon City particularly, because this is released on their Realm Records, doing a very good job of bringing up underground talent. So shout out to Gorgon City and Realm Records for that. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, get your shuffling shoes on and ready to go, because this is Josh Samuel with his track Sezzy Lock.
Dude, big, big fan of this track right here. And I was like, I know this sort of artwork from somewhere, but I just couldn't put my name on it.
Realm Records. Baby.
Realm Records, Gorgon City, the whole story makes sense now.
I featured like four artists in the past 3 months from them. I mean, I know. It's unbelievable. Like, they've just got such a great lineup of truly like underground like people who are just coming up. It's really impressive.
You're loving it, man. You're loving it. And I really do love to see it because, you know, it's tracks like this and it's labels like this that really kind of shape people's sounds and get people attuned to hearing new things in the house scene. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we've heard a lot of like Gorgon City style of house, like sort of piano house, you know, melodic a little bit, vocals definitely.
The tech house, yep.
Exactly. But what I love is that they are trying to look to the future. And they're trying to look for people who are trying new things in the house scene, but could also fit in with their imprint and their overall brand. I think Josh Samuel is a perfect match with Realm Records, but he's increasing the intensity a little bit.
Yes.
Especially with his track, Sezzy Luck. What does Sezzy even mean, dude? Do you know?
Yeah, Sezzy's kind of
like sexy?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's a combination of, but it's kind of like sexy.
I'm going to say that from now on.
Sezzy?
When I like hear a track, I'm going to be like, that was Sezzy. Dude, that was... This is such a great pick, and I love your love for Realm Records, man. I get goosebumps every single time I come up in here and I talk about,
Eric
you know,
Pritz.
Underground artists doing... No. Yeah, and Eric Pritz, but mostly underground artists doing some dope shit in this scene, you know what I mean? And
yes,
Josh Samuel and my artist that I'm watching this week, Jide, you know, they're on the forefront. And all the artists that we featured on the show are all on the forefront. I mean, dude, we're at episode 114, but with all the special guests that we've had on and just various folks... We must have spotlighted over 250 artists now at this point. Or almost 250 artists.
Isn't that crazy? And I still don't struggle to find people.
Exactly.
Like, that's
dude.
What's beautiful about
exactly.
it. Like, I still have a spreadsheet with like 30 other artists to feature. So
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And EDM champions, you already know. You can expect that from this show, Beyond the Beats. And you can expect that from our team, from our platform, especially as we introduce more content to you all. You can always expect a true respect and admiration for what is going on in this underground scene in dance music. And that's what really gets us motivated to come up on these microphones, to put in the hours, and it's to always be spotlighting what's going on in the underground. Thank you so much for tuning into episode 114. Sorry we had to take a week off last week. We just want a little break. We're going to a festival, you know what I mean? So we just took a little break and worked on some other things outside the podcast. But next week, you already know, episode 115 will be in your favorite podcasting platform on Thursday. Drop a review, hit subscribe, share the show with your friends, and we'll see you guys soon.